hearts with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue, if your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend, trust in his promises grand. Sing and you'll be happy today. Be happy, press on to the goal. Trust in him who leadeth the way. You, he is will keep your soul. Let the world know where you belong. Be faithful, look to Jesus and pray. Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and
you'll be happy today.
Be happy, press on to the goal. Trust in him
who leadeth the way.
He
will
keep your soul. Let
the world know where you
belong. Be faithful, look
to Jesus and pray.
And pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing
and you'll be happy today.
Be happy, press
on
to the goal.
Trust in him who leadeth away.
Who leads you, he
is king.
Will
your soul.
Keep your soul.
Let the world know where you
be
belong.
Be faithful.
Look to Jesus
to
and pray.
Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
All right, hold on. My music's giving me trouble. Let's see what's going on here with this. Let's see, let's go to recent here. Let's see. Okay, so none of my files will play there. That's all right. We'll go to something else. Isn't that something? What's going on with that? Let's see. How about this one? I like this one.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die a fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. Oh, keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight. Be brave, brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
God will only use the soldier he can trust.
Keep on the firing line.
If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must.
Keep on the firing line.
Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer.
Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, fight, be brave, brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, break me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us
midnight. Have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place? Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe. Keep me safe till the storm passes, till the storm passes by. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song.
King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
All right, everybody, I hope you're doing well. I hope you can hear me coming in loud and clear here this Tuesday afternoon at 1:55 p.m. Central Time. And I'm finally back and ready to go here for this year. And hope you're all doing well out there. And got some stuff to bring for you. Just some a simple broadcast here today. But lots of things we're going to cover. We're going to look at some very interesting things that God showed me last week when I picked a day and I was doing my devotions. And that morning I decided to do my devotions in the book of Proverbs. And some things that God showed me and how it relates and to the present times that we live in today. So we'll be looking up some of those things and talking about examples of this and all that good stuff. Let me say hi to everyone here, first of all. It's been a while. Let's see. Peter was first. Peter. Let me shut that heat off, man. It's hot in here. I just got done walking a couple miles, and I was outside, and it's cold out there. The wind's blowing. It's not super cold, but cold enough, and it's going to get cold tomorrow, below zero, and we're going to get some snow tonight. But anyway, so I'm kind of hot. I had my Under Armour on, and but I'm still kind of hot from walking. That's okay, though. And I turned the heat on here to warm it up in here a little bit earlier, and man, it's too warm. But anyway, so Elijah Morgan, trucking through somewhere, parts unknown that we don't know. Rachel Marshall, Deuce Volt. I don't know who that is, except that whoever it is, they like to give me a hard time often. But you're welcome to be here, because sometimes we just need to be given a hard time. So, Carrie, Jesus is Lord. My wife, Hannah, of course. Let's see. Gregory Pace. Hope you're doing well. Is that like a Neanderthal photo? I can't see it. So if I'm like totally wrong, don't get mad at me, because I can't see any of the photos really that well. Joe McDonald does have a farm somewhere. Into the Light of Christ, Brandon Swanson, part of the teenage no-eyed crew. They are 30-year-old men that literally act like they're 15 most of the time. and they say like three words. Whoa, dude, no way. Come on. Whoa. And that's like what they say the whole time. Anyway, but I bet that's an interesting conversation that they have with other people like that. But that's the one they have with each other, all three of them. They do Brandon Swanson and Peter and Carl. They all sound, whoa, dude, come on, guy. Like they say the same thing over and over again. It's like a, I don't know. Anyway, that's who they are. But they're the no-eyed bros. Let's see. Jacob's not dead. Well, I hope he's not dead. I just saw him a few days ago. Oh, wait, that's a different Jacob. Okay. Let's see. Terry Carter. Teresa, Daryl's wife. I've been talking to Daryl about that computer, texting back and forth. Hopefully I'll hear from him soon what he thinks. Andrea from Iowa. Joshua. Let's see who else we have here. Jenna Jones. Mary Teresa. Let's see. None Your Business asked me a question. I've been a reprobate and a hypocrite. I pray there's still hope for me and my wife. We have no real Christian friends because churches are Babel buildings. Well, churches aren't buildings. Buildings are places that churches meet. So if you meet in a field, that's okay too. If you meet in your house as an organized church, how the New Testament says you're supposed to organize with a pastor and with ordination and starting out a church, the way the Bible illustrates and shows us, and you meet in someone's home that they live in, or if you met in their barn or wherever you met, it's not, the building doesn't matter. It's just a place to meet. So it's not a Babel building because you meet in it, because a church meets in it. That's really messed up theology that people have. Just because Rome does things wrong and builds like million-dollar monstrosities and Protestants and even some Baptists have done those things, it doesn't make the building sin. It's just a brick-and-mortar place that people meet. The building's not holy. The people are supposed to be holy. The church is the people. It's not a sin to meet in a building, just like it's not a sin to meet in a cave. Although people have done some really dark and wicked things in caves. I would ask you to use your brain for more than just sitting on. Let's see. Are church buildings scriptural? Yeah, they are. That's like saying, is my house scriptural? Is you having a cover over your head, is that scriptural? Is me meeting in a barn scriptural? People do bad things in barns. Maybe I shouldn't meet there. Let's see. Hey, David Ickes, how you doing? It's like people need to like relax and chill out. People do videos about Babel buildings. Well, I could say the same thing about like a tent. If you built a tent and you met in there, that's your Babel tent. Maybe I have a Babel bathroom because I go into a bathroom. It's just goofy. It's not even logical. The things he, and you know what? You only have time to invent goofy things when you live in America under freedom and you're not being chased in and out of caves by people trying to kill you or your head chopped off in China or something like that. Then you can be in America and you can invent all kinds of crazy, goofy theologies and make stuff up as you go. It's so silly. I don't care where you meet. Look, I live up in the frozen tundra. You bring yourself up here and you go meet out there in the middle when it's 30 below outside. Go ahead. I dare you. Go try to meet out there. You'll freeze to death. You go ahead and try it here. I live in Minnesota. I don't live out in Florida in the swamp. I live here. You're going to freeze to death here. Go ahead and try that goofy stuff. I'm just being, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm laughing because it's like I'm being practical. It's so goofy. It's not unscriptural to have a permanent location. There's nothing unscriptural about that. So it's a sin for you to have a house because that's a permanent script. That's a permanent location. You shouldn't have a permanent house. It's so goofy. It isn't like a pagan temple. Look around this room. Does this look like a stinking pagan temple to you? Look at it. There's a bunch of chairs here. Look at this. I don't have any pictures of popes up here. I don't have any crosses etched out or any occultic symbols or any stained glass windows. It's a place for people to meet so they don't freeze to death. My goodness, people, use your brains. It is just ridiculous. How can anybody even think that? It's just such nonsense. I'm not insulted. I really don't care. I got over what people thought about me a long time ago. I think you're a bunch of goofballs when you say things like that. And people don't even listen to you. They just quit listening to you. When people say that stuff in sincerity, they end up going off into oblivion and nobody cares what they say. They just don't. They don't care. Because they just think it's goofy. You know, it's just ridiculous. But anyway, I'm not mad at anybody. It doesn't bother me that much. It's just goofy. It's like if I met in the same cave 100 times because I had no other place to meet, is it a sin? So goofy. Now, if you got to become a 501c3, if you got to become a 501c3, become incorporated, take a tax identification number and all those things, I got news for you. People met in buildings long before the Roman Catholics did it. People met in structures. They met in homes. They met all over the place. They met on their estates. If you think the building's holy, you got a problem. But anything can be sanctified. My home, the house that I live in, is to be sanctified unto the Lord. It's to be a place of worship to God. My car is to be a place of worship to God. I use my truck and my car when I'm driving to pray to God, to sing praises to God. You want to talk about getting stuck into legalism? You let Rome dictate to you and tell you that whether you can meet somewhere or not because Rome did something. I can't do it. Well, I got news for you. Rome said geocentricity was real and heliocentricity was wrong, and Rome was right about that. Geocentricity was correct and is correct today, right? So we got to use common sense, folks. We got to think. You got to think through things. Just because somebody did something wrong don't mean that you're that what you're doing is wrong just because their motives were wrong. And just because somebody else says that, right, the Roman Catholic Church says that Jesus died on a cross. Well, I know he did. Keep moving around? Yeah, it's called church planting. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. He was a church planter, but he left Titus in Crete. He left Timothy, right? He left Timothy to ordain elders in every city. All those people were given. Right? A church is a literal, visible congregation of believers. It has to meet somewhere. Otherwise, it's not a literal, visible congregation. It's not some spiritism, Augustinian, invisible fellowship. It meets in a literal place, just like the one in heaven, the church in heaven, when we're all going to be together one day, is going to be one big church, and we're all going to meet in one place. I wonder if that'll be idolatry. I wonder if that'll be Roman Catholicism when the church meets in heaven in one place, and we're all together in one place, if that's going to be a sin. So goofy. Come on. Come on, people. You got to think past the end of your nose. You got to really think. I wasn't even planning on talking about it. It just came up just now, and it's just goofy. Nowhere does it say the church in Corinth met in some other place when it came together, that it had to meet in some other place. Come on, guys. Think. Don't get caught up in goofy stuff. I've done it before, though. You know something? Here's what can happen. Here's what can happen. If you're not careful to correct an error, you'll go all the way over the other way, and you'll be in error. That's what happens. People do. I've been guilty of it myself, of trying to correct an error and overreach to the other side. But it's not what's biblical. I just do what scripture, amen, not a fixed building. That's not true. That's not true. Because how do you have a local assembly of called out believers, a literal visible assembly that doesn't meet? How do you have that? If it doesn't meet someplace, then it's not a church. And don't call it a church. Don't call it a called out assembly. Because it isn't. Don't call it an assembly that meets together, that has officers, that has ordination, that has direction. Don't call it that. No, you don't have. Yeah, you do have liberty to be wrong, but let's just be clear, you're wrong. You have liberty to make yourself look like a fool, but you're still wrong. I'll give you your liberty. You bet. You got your liberty. But you don't get to say that it's truth and expect everybody else to believe it. That's just so goofy. That's so goofy. Yeah, because you know what? I got one for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? And I'm going to try to be as nice as I can. Paul started churches in prison. They had to meet in prison. They didn't go to another location. They had the church in prison right there. Paul had a church in Caesar's house under his authority in his land. And guess what? They didn't move.
They were right there. That's a secret. I won't share with anybody else, just you. Okay? There you go. That's a secret. You wouldn't find that if you read the Bible, would you?
Oh, wait. Yeah, you would. It's right there. It's actually right there. Yeah. Come on. All right, I'm having fun. But it's so plain. That stuff is so easy to blow out of the water. It's such nonsense. It's such nonsense. You made that theory up in your mind. You heard some guy say it. You heard some guy say it, Deuce. You heard some guy say it, and you believe it now, and you believe you're more sanctified and holy because you do that, and know all you are is a big joke. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's a big joke. It's not real. You made it up in your own mind. A church isn't a city. You keep saying no continuing city. I'm not Augustine, and the church is not a city on the hill. The church is a local, called out assembly of believers that are baptized, that are organized, that have officers, and that follow the scriptures as their rule of faith and practice. They are not a city. We are not a city. This church meets in the city of Northfield, Minnesota. This church is not Northfield, Minnesota. See that? Well, that wasn't very hard to understand, was it? Right? That was really simple. You know, I think you better be careful, Deuce, because in your zeal not to become Roman, to fight Roman Catholicism, you're actually becoming one. Do you see how that works? Do you see how that works? You're actually becoming one. That's what I'm trying to warn you of. You can fight something so much that you almost become it. It's a danger. I mean, it's easy to do. To go way over the other way. And then you find yourself becoming the very thing that you're fighting. Anyway, that was free. That wasn't what this is about. I won't ask for any overtime pay. And we'll move on. But anyway, and I'm not mad at anybody either. I'm not. I'm just telling you, you can get real goofy with stuff. I know how it is, believe me. Been there. That's right, Gregory. All right. Anyway. No, I'm not lost on any course. I'm saved by the grace of Almighty God. I've had my sins forgiven me. I have this King James Bible that's my rule of faith and practice, my final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And nowhere does it say the church is a city on a hill. That's what Augustine said. And no place does it insinuate the church has no continuing city. That's talking about your pilgrimage in this world. It's saying that this is not... that we're not of this world, and we're not, but we're still going to meet in this world. We're still going to assemble in this world. We're still going to preach the gospel to this world, right? We're still going to do all those things. So, I mean, anyway. But again, I'm not upset at anybody. I'm just telling you. I'm not upset at Deuce either. You got to meet somewhere. That's all I'm saying. You can't be a called out assembly of believers at a local New Testament church if you don't meet. That's not a church. Churches meet. They have to. That's what a church is. It's an assembly. So we don't believe in that universal invisible thing that Rome teaches. All right. Anyway, we're going to move on. I have no problem moving around the city. I call that preaching. I just did that last week. We went up to Minneapolis, or up to St. Paul. We stood outside a freezing corner at 10 below, and we preached the gospel to sinners as they were going into the bars and going into the concerts. We went up there and we preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and called them to repentance and handed out gospel tracts and warned them to flee from the wrath to come. That's what we did there. Right. Anyway, I'm not mad at anybody though. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to get to it here. Proverbs chapter 30. We are going to talk about the curse that is on charismatics, Catholics, and other false prophets who add to God's word, who teach things and add things to God's word. And I'll give you some examples of some of the different peoples that have done that in this world that do that and the danger of that. We'll look at this verse. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. I'm going to first start with like a sub, excuse me, a sub lesson here, a short little lesson on something to think about. And then we'll move on to the main lesson, what I want to teach you about, you know, the charismatic movement and Roman Catholicism and some of the things the papacy teaches, and all that good stuff. But the Bible tells us that every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. And with the King James Bible, I believe we have every word of God. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. The Bible calls God a shield, calls him a buckler, which was like a leather shield, right? God is a shield to us, unto us that put our trust in him. God is the only one in Christ Jesus. He's the only one that through Christ our Lord that you can put all of your eggs in one basket and be fine. He's the only one that you can trust with everything that you have and everything that you are. God's the only one. There isn't a man alive that you can trust everything to. There's a reason for that, though. It's because of God's nature and who he is and man's nature, who he is. You see, I could promise you something, but I can't always fulfill that promise. Why? Because my promise is subject to two things. One, it's subject to the knowledge that I have when I make the promise. Things can happen outside of my knowledge that could hinder me from doing what I want. For instance, I could promise you that tomorrow I'm going to give you $20. But if I die tonight, then I can't give you $20. I can't keep my promise. I didn't know that was going to happen. Right? Or my bank account gets wiped out and I don't have any money. Somebody hacked my account and all my money's gone and I can't give you $20. I didn't know somebody was going to hack my bank account. But see, we can trust God with everything because God is omniscient. He knows all things. So then I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to be concerned with that. When God makes a promise, when God is my shield, I don't have to worry about that. Because as when God is my shield, then God knows everything. And because God knows everything, then I can trust him with everything. That's the first thing. The second thing is that something, if I make a promise to you, something can overpower me. If any man makes a promise to you, something could overpower him. It is very possible that he could become overpowered by something. What's one thing that I could be overcome by death? I could say, tomorrow I'm going to shovel your driveway for you. Okay? But if I'm stricken with sickness tomorrow and I'm stuck in bed, I can't keep my promise and I can't shovel your driveway. But that can't happen to God because nothing can overpower God. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. So then nothing can overpower God. So that's why, because of God's nature, because of who he is, I always can trust everything that God says to me. He is a buckler. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Every word of God is pure because everything God says will come to pass. Nothing can overpower him. Nothing can stop him. I can also trust in God because God is immutable. He never changes. God is immutable. His very nature is holy and it never changes. You and I change. Life changes for us. We are young and then we are old. Life changes. Things all around us change. But God is immutable and he does not change. And nothing can change God. He doesn't have to change because he's perfect and holy. See, today, you and I as Christians have to grow to understand that we can trust God with everything because of the nature of God, because of his character, because of who he is. Because of who God is, I can always trust him. I can't say that about everybody else. I can't say that about everybody else. I can't say that about myself. I can't say, I'm never going to change. Praise God, I'm always going to stay the same and stay faithful to God. And all. No, what I do say is, Lord, help me to never change. Help me to change into your image more and more, to become more like you, but help me never to walk away from the truth. Help me never to slide. Help me never to give in. Help me never to be subject to those things. See, that's every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. If you ever have a problem trusting God, it's because you don't understand him well enough. You have to study God's attributes and who he is. The more you study who God is, the more you study who he is, the stronger your Christian walk will be with him. The more you will trust him. Because you'll get to know his nature. And when all that fear and doubts come into your mind and heart, you can say, yep, I know the way I feel right now. But God is just. God is holy. God never changes. God never stops loving me. God doesn't change. I change not, he says. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He doesn't change.
nothing can overpower him. So then God says for me to trust his word. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. God, that's right, Brother Ickes, those are facts. Those are just plain facts of who God is. And what you and I are required to do is believe it. We're required to believe it. God tells us, you believe him. You believe what I say. You believe my word above your doubts, above your fears, above your circumstances, above your depression, above your anxiety, above whatever comes at you in this life. You believe my word. You believe every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You can trust the Lord. You can surrender to him and hide in the shelter of his wings. You can do that because every word of God is pure. Why? Because the one that wrote it is pure. Now let me give you a warning about that before I move on to the main topic today. Let me give you a warning. There's one application to this that needs to be given before we give the other one. That's a good point, Brother Ickes. He said people don't really get mad at God. They don't even know him. They get mad at the incomplete understanding of who he is. That is correct. Absolutely. I agree with that. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now, before we get to the false prophets, and before we get to the Roman Catholicism, before we get to the cults and those people, I want to address this to God's people, those that name the name of Christ. You better be careful that you don't claim that you're trusting God when you're doing something contrary to his word. Because you're guilty of adding to God's word in that sense. And you'll be found a liar. Verse 6 warns us not to add unto his word, so then you and I are warned to carefully discern whether we are trusting him or adding something inconsistent with his word. There are people that what they do is they'll claim they're walking by faith and they're totally ignoring what the scriptures say. God takes his word very seriously. So don't go disobeying God's word and then saying, well, I'm just trusting God. I'm just exercising faith. No. Not if you're disobeying God's word. Don't claim that God's going to protect you and that he's going to be your shield when you're being defiant and disobedient to his word. Let me say this to you. No man ever trusted God in a situation that was consistent with Scripture and found God's word to not hold true. So in other words, what I mean by that is that if you're trusting God the biblical way, then the outcome is going to be a biblical one. It's going to match God's word. It's going to be consistent with how God operates. It's going to be consistent with God's character. It's going to be consistent with Scripture. Right? And if we're not careful, we can kind of go off haphazardly and say, well, I'm just trusting God. Some men are very presumptuous. Some men are very presumptuous, and they claim faith, and they're walking by faith. And they're obeying the Lord, and they're not. You got to be careful about that. Make sure that what you're doing is consistent biblically it's consistent with the scriptures, and that you're following God's word, then you can claim this promise all day long. But if you're acting outside of the scriptures and trying to claim God's promises, and that God's going to protect you, you might get the whooping of your life by God to show you that. So be careful about that. Make sure that what you're doing is consistent with the word of God. Make sure it's consistent with what God has commanded you to do. And then you can claim this defense, because God's promises hold true. They really do. Now, the Bible goes on to say, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee. You know, today we have a lot of groups of people out there that name the name of Christ that add to God's word. How do they do it? Well, they do it through visions. Here's one. Here's one that did it. I'll show you one right now. Here is Joseph Smith. It's not actually Joseph Smith. It's a picture of him. Joseph Smith with the angel Moroni, like Hoggard calls him, the angel moron. The angel Moroni, right, giving him the lucky golden ticket. I mean the golden plates, right? Here he is right here. He's got a vision. He's got a prophecy, right? He's got another testament. Right? Right? He's got another testament here. But hey, an angel came to him and gave him that. Well, you say, Pastor, do you think it really happened? Sure, I think some fallen angel came to him and told him. The Bible warns us about it. Look. I marvel that you, Galatians chapter 1, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. But though we or an angel from heaven. He was out hanging out one day, and there's the lucky golden plates. Right? This is another gospel. What is this? It was added. Another testament of Jesus Christ. Such as is with all the restoration movements. They got extra biblical revelation. And they take it and they add to God's word. Joseph Smith, the one that popularized polygamy, who was a Mason, by the way, he stole the secrets of the Masonic Lodge. Hang on a second. I'll show you the series. Here is my series on Mormonism. The Mormon founder, Astrologic Witch. That's him. He had a talisman. He had a little talisman that he did that. Right? That he divined with. Had a little talisman. He was a little astrological witch. He was a master mason. Mormonism is full of occultism, is full of necromancy and familiar spirits. Mormons worship the same Jesus as the Da Vinci Code. Mormonism is pagan polytheism, multiple gods. The Mormon God is an evolving Adam and a polygamous pimp. One of my favorites. One of my favorite titles of all times. But anyway, if you want to know more about Mormonism, you can go to my series on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. Listen through all of the sermons on Mormonism. That'll give you a good understanding. But what did he say? He said, well, I had a vision. It came to me. And I had angel came to me, the angel Moroni, and he gave me all these things, all these prophecies. And they put the Book of Mormon equal with the scriptures. The Jesus that they follow is not the Jesus of the Bible. Right? It's not the Jesus of the Bible. Okay? For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. He's saying, you guys will bear with that false teaching, but you won't listen to me when I try to tell you the truth. The Bible warns of those. Here it is in Matthew 24:24. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. If you looked at how similar Mormonism is with Mohammedism or with Islam, you would be shocked, but not really. It's the same spirit. Same spirit. False Christs and false prophets. They're preaching another Jesus unto you. And they're bringing a curse upon themselves. That's what he did. Joseph Smith preached another gospel. Joseph Smith, one time when he wanted to take somebody's wife, she didn't want to go, and her husband didn't want to give her up. He fell down in a trance. Said that God told him he could have that man's wife. That's what he did. By the way, most of the cults that you'll find, they're always mixed with some kind of fornication. There's always a spirit, a physical spirit of perversion, along with the spiritual perversion that's there. They're always mixed. Let me give you an example of that. Jack Scop, years ago, came out with his book, Divine Intimacy, how the Lord's Supper was like marriage relations with God. Right? Well, it wasn't long after that he was caught with this 17-year-old girl that he took across state lines. I could name you a ton of charismatics the same way. When they start preaching a theology of God's okay with homosexuals, then they end up coming out of the closet being homosexuals themselves. That spiritual perversion, the Roman Catholic papacy preaching celibacy. Usually they're caught molesting boys or girls, or they're caught with the nuns, historically. Very common. Very common. Very common stuff. Spiritual and physical perversion. A lot of times they go hand in hand. It's just the way it is. So Joseph Smith is a perfect example of that. And what did he teach? He taught a perverted polygamy. Aleister Crowley and his magic, his fornication magic that he taught, same thing. I mean, it's all the same spirit. All of them is the same spirit. So you have Joseph Smith there. Charles Taze Russell, right? Just looks like he's got about 300 demons in him. This guy right here taught a perversion of who Christ was. That Christ was not God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. That Christ was not God. His tomb, there you go. Pyramid. The world does that have to do with anything? Well, apparently a lot. But that's the JWs. What did they do? Well, they had their New World translations, and they had Charles Taze Russell's writings and Rutherford's writings. It is esoteric. It's exactly what it is. And what did they teach? They taught another Jesus. They added to God's word. They added to God's word. They called for prophecies of the end of the world, when it was going to happen, all kinds of stuff like that. Their prophecies ended up being false. Their Christ was false. They are not born again Christians. They taught a perversion. What they taught. Another Christ. Let's see. Let me. Oh, let me go back. That's not going to be there. Let me find the series on Jehovah's Witnesses. Here's the series that I did on that. The New World Translations, Doctrines of Devils. You can see that they have a Roman Catholic Bible. Charles Taze Russell, founder, fraud, and false prophet of the Watchtower. History of the JW Jehovah's Witnesses Bibles, Jesuits, and automatic writing. They got their automatic writing. They got their writings from spirits. They said spirits spoke to them, and they wrote as the spirit gave them utterance, basically. And their teachings added that they spoke to spirits that were gone on before them, they said, or angels or others that they spoke to, other angels and things like that. They used automatic writing. They admitted it. What did they do? They added to God's word. Let's see. Let me go to something I'll show you. Let's see.
See if I can shortcut it and find. I did. Here we go. Here we go.
I want you to turn to your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse number 13, and we're going to get started here. Let me pray, and I want to get into this here.
I have no idea who this is. This is called OPBC Online Re-Upload. Maybe that's Carl. Is that you, Carl? Is that your channel, man? Did you re-upload that? Maybe you did. You said you were going to do some. Anyway, check this out. These are videos that you can watch.
From Russell's book, The Divine Plan of the Ages, does that sound familiar? Dispensational Truth by Clarence Larkin is basically that. Lewis Talbot wrote a book on The Divine Plan of the Ages long before, and it wasn't a cultic that I don't remember him saying anything. He was a dispensationalist. That's fine. I mean, I assume subtle disagreements with each one of those men, but this stuff is like way off the board nuts. All right, the Great Pyramid from Russell's book, it's The Divine Plan of the Ages. So you can see that they are trying to measure out the end of the world through these pictures, through these measurements. Now, first of all, what spirit is Egypt? It's the world. It's Babylon. Right? It's Babylon. It has nothing to do with the Bible. All right, now you can't read this, but I'll read it to you. In the late 19th century, a number of Bible students became interested in the mysteries of the Great Pyramid. One such individual was Charles Taze Russell, founder of the group later known as the Jehovah's Witnesses. In his book, Thy Kingdom Come, Volume 3, originally published in 1890, Russell goes into great detail of the various measurements inside the pyramid using what he called pyramid inches. So he made up his own. He's like, well, I think we'll call them pyramid inches. Well, that's so his theory works, right? Wrong. It still didn't work. Okay. In effort to prove that the construction of the pyramid was inspired by God. Okay. From and the root of it, Lord. Help us understand that. And then, Lord, others that hear this online, others that will hear this out there that may be trapped in this cult, Lord, I pray that you would use it to call them to repentance and bring them out of the snare of the devil.
Here's the real one. This is the real channel right here.
All these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, he said this. He said, the Bible never tells us to look at a pyramid or anything else for the sign of his coming, nor to ever look at Egypt where the spirit of Babylon. Wait, that was me. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. Here's this quote. So then if we measure the backward down, the first ascending passage to its injunction with the entrance passage, we shall have a fixed date to mark upon the downward passage. This measure is 1,504. Okay, you're just dumb. All right, stop it. You're either dumb or I'm dumb for thinking you're serious. Do you know how many thousands of people followed this? I'm not kidding you. So then if we measure backward down the first ascending passage to its junction.
So in other words, basically he used the pyramids to measure the time of the world
with the entrance
and
passage,
all these other things. So he used occultic Egyptology to do a lot of his things. That's what this broadcast or that's what this sermon
transformed,
was about.
Right? Judge Rutherford took over the watchtower right after that. But the witchcraft to follow was much worse than under Russell. Oh, it gets deeper. That is just like so. I mean, I got plenty of time. It's only 11:30. Yeah. All right. So the witchcraft under Rutherford is way worse. And it's so much more blatant. It's so much more in your face blatant that you can't even deny it. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't deny it. It's right there. Satan was just beginning to use this watchtower, though. Remember, those symbols that are used, they call all the devils in. That's what they do. That's why they use them. That you have to understand, symbols to Freemasons is a language. They're speaking a language. That's why they use them. It's a language. Have you ever had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? Now, wouldn't you like to have this on CD and hand it to them and say, why don't you listen to this? Take this home with you.
Okay, so right? This is the Watchtower. I haven't even got into the charismatics yet, right? But here you have the false prophecies of the Watchtower. You have the witchcraft that was involved with this. Listen to this. Here we go.
Ben Rain's comments says, he said, the Watchtower Society's second president, Judge J.F. Rutherford, claimed angels enlightened him with God's interpretation of Scripture. He said, listen, I'm not kidding you. I'm going to show you the quotes. He said, invisible spirits transmitted the interpretations as well as organization instructions inaudibly into his mind. Rutherford stated that these claims were not spiritism. You see how he changes the definition of spiritism but still practices it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what devils do. That's how they handle it. Okay. A book by Magnani, this Dwayne, he's an XJW. He said this at the XJW meeting. So they had this meeting of XJWs that had been...
Okay, so we can go on and on and on with this, but there's not enough time. I could keep going. But if you want to watch this, I'm going to put these on sermon audio. I found out these videos are not on sermon audio. So I need to put these back on. I need to put these videos on sermon audio. Look at all the I hate Jason Cooley stuff. Man, there's a lot of people that don't like me. Holy buckets. Remember this fun one? Trump, the delusion of choice? Well, that was a fun one. There we go. Anyway, so there you have it. You have the Watchtower. You have somebody do OPBC online re-uploaded. I have no idea what that is, but anyway, somebody's there. All right, so anyway, you have the JWs there, right? You've got that. You have them that's done the same thing. Then you have the Mormons that do the same thing. Then you have the Charismatics that do the same thing, right? I'll give you an example of the Charismatics doing that. Let's see. Here we go. We'll just show you this one.
And I'm going to have my wife, Jessa, share a dream that she had. And I'm going to tell you what God's been...
Oh, and the music is just so awesome. You know, you have that slow music.
...speaking to me about. And I believe it's the key that's going to release the greatest miracle anointing for the church.
So radical elephants are going to be the key that unleashes the anointing. Here we go.
Jessa.
So a couple of nights ago, I had a dream where Oral Roberts was speaking to Todd. I didn't understand what they're saying, but I remember they were talking. And then he looked over and he saw me and he stopped and he ran over to me and he put his hands over my eyes and he said, "What do you see?" And so I looked and I didn't see anything at first. And then all of a sudden I saw this elephant racing across my eye. And Oral Roberts said, he put his hands over my eyes and said, "What do you see?" And I said, I didn't see anything at first, and then all of a sudden I saw this elephant racing across my eyes, and it was dancing, it was going crazy, it had this big smile, and it was just going crazy, and I said, it's a wild elephant, I see a wild elephant. And then I said, what's with the elephant? He said, exactly, what is it with the elephant?
He's like, exactly, He's like, lady, your dream's so crazy. That devil in her dream is like, lady, this is so crazy. Can you tell me what this elephant is?
And then I looked again, and in that vision, what was highlighted was the trunk of the elephant. I said, it's the elephant nose. And he said, yes. And I said, it's discernment. And he said, exactly. And then he says, do you see the lion? And I closed my eyes again. And then I saw the lion, and the lion, it was just a golden lion, and I woke up. And when I woke up, literally, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I just felt like the Lord was highlighting things to me about the dream. And in the dream, I thought it was pretty ironic that Oral Roberts put his hands, he covered my eyes and said, "What do you see?" And I thought that was interesting because he's covering my eyes. What do you see? And I felt like the Lord was saying that even more so.
She felt like. Oh, that's great. So you felt like it. Okay, well, does that mean it's right then? Because you felt like it?
So now, for the church today, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. What do you see? You know, I didn't see anything at first until I really looked and I pressed in. You know, and I saw the wild elephant. And so when the elephant came running in and I said, what is it with it? So it's almost like, what's with walking by faith? How do you walk by faith and not by sight? By discerning the times and the seasons, just like the sons of Issachar, discerning. That's what gives you hope when you're walking through a hard time and you're, you know, walk by faith when everything around you looks dark and dim, is discerning the times and season by getting a hope from God. Getting a hope from God to be able to see, to discern the times and the seasons that's ahead of you. And the thing about the elephant, it wasn't just an ordinary elephant. It was a wild elephant, a wild elephant. It was radical, 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 radical.
Okay.
And the elephant means a great impact. And I really felt like what happened in Lakeland was just the beginning. It's just an introductory. It's just an introduction. Just a table of contents of what's to come. And I felt like the great impact is greater, greater, greater. It's the great impact. And the greatest impact that you can have is bringing the kingdom of God to earth. It's to give an encounter of Jesus Christ to every single person. That's the greatest impact we can have. The great impact is the great revival. It's the great harvest.
So they've said nothing about Jesus Christ, nothing about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, nothing about any of that. What are they doing? They're preaching a different message. They're preaching another message. It's another gospel. It's not the gospel of the Bible. And it's accursed.
And it's going to be wild, wild. It's going to be much greater than it was before. Much greater.
Well, much greater than it was before. Like, what are you talking about? Before what?
And the next thing, the last thing about the dream is once we as a church pray for revival and seek revival, that it becomes a lifestyle, just like Todd was saying, a lifestyle, not just something we contend for, we want, but a lifestyle, that we live in a culture of revival, then boldness is released upon the church. And that was the lion. When he said, do you see the lion? Because we need the wild elephant first before we can get the lion.
Right.
And then
that's right. You need the wild elephant before you can have the lion. What's the chapter verse of that scripture there?
Where the boldness of the church is released. Oh.
Sheka, my wife's got some wild fire.
My wife's got some wild fire. Boy, you could sure say that again. She's got some kind of fire. And then, of course, there's this guy.
The secret power in Brother prayer. Copeland, this sermon stand in my was place? Originally preached on January the 8th. In the year 1888,
Lori, come and stand in
by Charles
place?
Haddon Spurgeon.
Whoops, sorry.
Evan, would you come stand by me?
Let me back that up. This is Oral Roberts putting his satanic anointing on Kenneth Copeland to make him the next best thing.
Brother Copeland, would you come and stand in my place? Lori, would you come and stand in Evan's place? Evan, would you come stand by me? Now, Brother Copeland and your dear wife, Gloria, would you look at us? Look on us.
Hey.
Silver and gold have we plenty.
Is that not the most wicked thing ever? Right there, what did they do? They just changed the word of God. The apostle said silver and gold, right? Talked about silver and gold. Let's see what the apostle said about silver and gold, right? Huh? Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Okay. Now let's go back.
Now, Brother Copeland and your dear wife, Gloria, would you look at us? Look on us.
Amen.
Silver and gold have we plenty.
Silver and gold have we plenty gets a standing ovation by charismatics. Okay? That's an example of charismatics adding to the Word of God, right? Adding, changing the Word of God. Let's see. Let's see if I can find that video. I showed you this years ago. This might be it right here.
Most impartation that you've ever believed for right now. You're going to impart to each other. So you're going to take it. You're going to put it on somebody else's head. A watch. And then say, more, Lord. Whoa! More, Lord. Everybody, place that anointing, that crown, that gift upon someone else's head. Keep praying. Every single one of you, impartation, legacy, 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 legacy.
Hear the chanting and the satanic chanting. By the way, what else? How else are they adding? Where do you see in the Bible where a lady is supposed to lay hands on people in authority, in an authoritative way? They're not. There's nowhere in the Bible that states that. Right? But that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
Legacy, 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 increase your glory. More, Lord. Try it again, try it again, try it again, try it again. More, Lord. Fire. There's fire. Place it on their heads. Find somebody. I think he's got it. Shake a baba.
Shake a baba.
Place it on another one's head. Fire. Legacy. Legacy. The greatest thing you've ever seen in your life. Prophesy over them 10 times. Start to prophesy over it.
So how else do they add to God's word? Well, here's this woman preaching. Here's this woman preaching. That is Jezebel. What is she doing? Preaching against Scripture. God never gave her any authority to preach. Right? God never gave her any authority to preach. She's doing the absolute opposite of what God said. Right?
Ten times what I've seen, let it be. Ten times what I've seen, let it be. Ten times what I've seen, let it be.
total opposite. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? So he's explaining that I suffer not a woman to teach. There's another one. First Timothy 2:12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam is first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. If you see a woman preaching, then the first thing that like this, in this fashion, in the church, then you must understand, regardless of what she is saying, she's a Jezebel. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. What's another one? Beth Moore. Who's another one? Beth Moore. Beth Moore. Right? She gets in there and starts teaching. Now she's over there. Now she went to this apostate Anglican church.
Hold on. Being in unity of the people of God, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy. For Foley, our Archbishop, Clark, our Bishop, in our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for our Savior, Houston.
I mean, can you get any more dead than that nonsense right there? But here she is, right? What are they doing? Well, they're adding to God's word. They're adding to it. Right? Let's see. How about let me see here. Let's see. Hang on a second. Just looking at something here. Oh, how about the fake and false prophecies of healing that the charismatics do, where they teach you that God doesn't want anybody to ever be sick, that no one's ever supposed to be sick, right? That God wants you healed, right? That God always wants you healed, right? Here we go.
Well, listen, partners, we don't have a flu season.
No.
We've got a duck season, a deer season, but we don't have a flu season. And don't receive it when somebody threatens you with everybody's getting the flu. We've already had our shot. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. That's what we stand on. And by his stripes, we were healed. If you've already got the flu, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray.
Wait a minute. If you already got the flu, I'm going to pray for you. I thought you said we don't get the flu. Right? I thought you said we don't get the flu. We already got our... What do they teach? They add to God's word because they teach, they are teaching that you're not, that God doesn't want anybody sick ever. That God always wants you well, and that's not true.
Pray for every person that has symptoms of flu. I'm asking you, Lord, by your supernatural power, to heal them now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in...
Oh, I love that part.
...of their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in the...
Flu, I bind you. Flu, I bind you.
In the name of Jesus. Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse of flu.
That's a lie. What she just said to you was an absolute lie. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. He did not come to give us eternal life in this flesh. He did not come to keep us from sickness in this flesh. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He came that we might have eternal life. That's why he came. That's what he came for. He did not come so you would never get sick. Many people died of sickness. Many people. In fact, their friends, these charismatics' friends, died of sickness.
And we receive it, and we take it, and we are healed by his stripes. Amen. You know, the Bible says he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we were healed. When we were healed, we are healed.
What a stinking nut.
So get on the word, stay on the word, and if you say, well, I don't have any symptoms of the flu, well, great, that's the way it's supposed to be. Just keep.
That's the way it's supposed to be. So you're never supposed to get sick. Because if you really love God, then you won't get sick. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. You're never supposed to. Do you see how that's a false gospel? They're preaching that healing the flesh is part of the atonement. And that's a lie.
Keep saying that I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu.
See, now she's saying put words to it. Say, I'll never have the flu. And if you say it enough, you'll never have the flu. That's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. That's what that is. Because what they're doing is preaching to you a lie. And that's how the world looks at that and says, well, I thought you were all supposed to be healed. What is she doing? She's changing God's word. She's adding to God's word. She's cursed. She's cursed.
Words, inoculate yourself with the word of God.
You can't inoculate yourself from the flu or from COVID-19, right? Spiritually, and expect that to work physically, right? So this teaching doesn't stop there.
He himself bore my...
Whoops. Here you go.
will exercise judgment right now.
Because we
in
have...
In the name of Jesus!
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
What a fake. This guy is even faker than this guy. This guy is even faker.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God, I execute judgment on you, COVID-19.
Okay, so is COVID-19 a person? Because he's executing judgment on COVID-19. You got to cast out COVID-19 like it's a devil?
I execute judgment on you, Satan, you destroyer, you killer, you get out, we break your power, you get off this nation. I demand judgment on you. I demand a vaccination to come immediately.
Yes.
Wait, what do you need a vaccination for? You're walking around laying hands on people and healing people. What do you need a vaccination for?
I call you done. I call you gone. You come down from your place of authority, destroyer. You come down and you crawl on your belly like God commanded you when he put his foot on your head in the garden of Eden. You will destroy through COVID-19. No more!
No more! No more!
It...
No more.
...is finished.
Finished.
It is over. And the United States of America...
That was March 30th.
...is healed. Thank you, Jesus. And well.
Thank you.
Again.
Praise.
Saith the mighty.
Hallelujah.
Spirit.
Glory.
Glory. Peace, who is also the Prince of War, the Lord Jesus Christ. When oppressive, mean, nasty people attack his people, when mean, oppressive, nasty diseases attack his people, George, the Prince of Peace takes his place. And he becomes the mighty man of war.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. Oh, is this the one?
COVID-19!
COVID-19!
Burn.
Well, I'm telling you, it gets hot down there. I mean, like Jesse says, it's Africa hot down there, man. And it gets... Are you listening to me? Because it's right there on the coast. It gets muggy. And that's what it takes to kill this thing. It hates heat. It hates humidity. It hates water. It just dies.
Oh, I wonder if I could find the spit one. Oh, here's the best one.
COVID-19!
COVID-19!
When mean, oppressive, nasty diseases attack his people, George, the Prince of Peace takes his place.
I messed us up.
Mean and nasty. All right. Anyway, so as you can see, the charismatics, what do? They added everything. They're, God never says for you to call out the virus by name, cast it out, right? Call it out by name, and that
that's going to take it away. So what do we have in common? You have the same spirit that we've seen. What do they have in common? The same spirit, excuse me. What do they have in common? They have the JWs, another gospel, another spirit. They add to God's word. The Mormons adding to God's word. Right? The charismatics, same thing, adding to God's word. Right? With their anointings and their visions and their healings. Right? Same thing. They're guilty of what God warned about, not to add to his word. Not to add visions and your teachings and everything else. Here's another major one. Major one. I got to get out of here pretty soon, man. Jesse Duplantis. Right? He says he went to heaven, right?
I don't know any of that. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I don't know what I was in my body, out of my body. All I know, I went to that roof. And I was put into this kind of a, looks like a ski car, but closed in. And it was the same blonde-headed angel that had talked to me in Jonesville, Louisiana. I went, hey, how you doing? He said, hi, Jesse. I said, where are we going? And it was, I mean, we were moving at a phenomenal rate of speed. And I think the only reason why I was in that contraption was to protect me, not to protect the angel. Because I'm in a flesh body. See what I'm saying? I mean,
he's saying he bodily went to heaven. Which the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord.
Traveling at a phenomenal rate. He said, you have an appointment with the Most High God. I said, I do. What'd I do wrong? Now, I didn't put that in the book, but I asked him that. He said, you didn't do nothing wrong, otherwise you wouldn't be here. He said, we'll be there in a very short time. I don't know how fast we were going. I knew we were moving. Glenn, we were moving, man. I mean, and all of a sudden, I began to kind of like feel the brakes slowing down. And he just stopped. He said, and he opened the door. And when he opened the door, I was in the most beautiful place I ever seen in my entire life. I never seen reds like that, blues, purples, gold, grays. When I say color, I mean color like I've never seen in my life. Because there was no stain of sin on it. And I walked out, and the angel said, you're in paradise. I said, paradise? And I looked, and I could see the city, which seemed like millions of mansions all around it. And it's a three-place tier. There's the throne. There's the New Jerusalem. Then there's paradise. See, paradise looks like country, beautiful green fields, valleys, mountains. And I was thinking in my mind, God, this looks a lot like earth. But the angel could hear me thinking. He said, "It's the earth is the Lord's taste." I said, yeah, that's right. I said, man, glory to God. And you can't use praise phrases because they do it. You know how we say praise the Lord? Glory. I went, glory to God. He goes, glory to God. Glory to God. And I go, glory to God. And everybody around me going, glory to God. You just got to watch what you say.
Oh, man.
Because they do it. Glory to God. And I'm shouting. And I look and I felt like the kneel down. He said, do not kneel before me. You have an appointment with the Most High God. And I looked. And I'm just standing there. I just couldn't get over how beautiful. It was vast. It was huge. Heaven's a planet. It's about the best way I can describe it in the natural. And I don't know what to do. And I wanted to say, praise God, but I knew, but I did it anyway. I went, praise God. He goes, praise God. Yeah, I mean, and he didn't have wings, this angel, but there was a lot of them that did.
And I mean, people start praising God. And here comes another one of them contraptions that I was in. And it comes, I don't know who this person, comes out, and this man goes, I made it. I made it. I can't believe I made it. And he fell on the ground and started kissing the ground. I made it. I made it. And I thought, yeah, but you see, he didn't have clothes like I did. He had a gown on. How you know the people is clothes.
This guy is literally telling you things that are contrary to what the Bible says heaven is. You know, I could take this whole guy's message, right? I could take this whole guy's message and completely, maybe I should sometime, and completely tear that thing apart with the scriptures, because everything that he is saying is just like conjecture and just garbage. He's humanizing heaven.
The clothes of office, like if in the military, you know a general when you see him, you know a colonel when you see him, you know a lieutenant.
He tells a good story, though. I'll be honest with you. It's interesting because you're listening to this guy and he's telling a story, and I'm not going to lie to you. He tells a good story.
A colonel when you see him, a full bird colonel, you know. And
Carl, that one brought, should I? Guys, you think I should do that? I might get off this right now and I might just do that. Cause man, I could tear this guy's entire, I'd have to watch the whole thing, which is kind of vexing, but not when you know it's fake, it really isn't that hard. But the point is this, like, I mean, his story of heaven, it's pretty bad.
That clothes of office dictates their position there in heaven. But this man had a gown. And there was another angel who said, let me guide you. Now, people were lining up heading for that city as fast as they could. But they didn't have gowns. Some of them had gowns, but most of them had big robes on, gorgeous robes with top stitching. Beautiful stuff. I mean, just, and I thought, man, look at the clothes.
So let me get this straight. God doesn't explain everything like this in detail completely, right? God doesn't do that, but he gives the vision to Jesse Duplantis to give to you. But he doesn't put it in his King James Bible. But he gives it to Jesse Duplantis.
But all of a sudden, I saw the people with the gowns, they kind of get close. And they'd get out of line. And the angels would move them over to where the river of life was. And they would eat a piece of fruit and take the leaves and do this. And I said, well, they're not going to go to the throne? He said, yes. But he said, the great God Jehovah is merciful. But they didn't live the way they were supposed to live. But the great God Jehovah was merciful. They will learn and eventually get to the throne. And I thought, man, I am something going wrong with me. I'm hearing something. And then when I got back, I checked it out in the book of Isaiah. He said he gives us a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness, which is totally two separate things.
Whatever. This guy is such a devil, man. He is such a devil twisting. Oh, he's such a stinking serpent, man. Whew.
And I physically saw that with my own eyes. That's in the book of Isaiah. You ought to go read it. It's a garment of salvation, which means to show that they were saved, and a robe of righteousness. Now, as I
look how long this is. 2 hours and 28 minutes. That's how long this guy's doing
this. Looking like that. And this, I was thirsty. The angel said, you thirsty? I said, yes. He said, I'll get you some water. And this man said, I'll get him the water. And I looked. I'm getting goosebumps. Excuse me a minute. He's thick, barrel-chested man. He said, hello, Jesse. I'm your father in the faith. I'm Abraham. I went, and he's thick, barrel-chested. Big man, you ought to see his clothes. You talk about a general. This boy was more than a 4-star, 5-star, 10-star. See, everything I thought about heaven was totally wrong. I thought Peter at the gate, that ain't true. No, you know, I just people saying all that kind of stuff. The first person you meet is your father of faith, Abraham.
Oh, my goodness. So he's telling you that you're going to see... You're going to see Abraham before you see anybody else. Any scripture for that? No, probably not.
You thirsty? I said, yes. He said, let me get you some water. And he had a goblet with sapphire and diamond and emerald. I thought, my God, look at that cup. He said, drink this. And I was dehydrated. And I would do this. I said, what's happening? He said, you're going to have to eat some fruit so you can withstand the glory of God.
Oh, my goodness gracious. This is bad. Wow. Look at how many people have watched this. All right. I'm going to stop this right now. Wow. Yeah. I'd like to talk about that, but I think it would take me 6 hours to really talk about that. But I'm going to stop that right there because I might just do that. That is wicked, man. That is absolutely wicked. Look how he's added to the scriptures. Do you see how he's done that? Maybe I should. Maybe I should deal with that one. I mean, a million people have watched that. Probably in all the he's got like two or three of them on there, right? Like, look at this. Look, over a million people. Look at this. 817,000, 983,000, 320,000, 17,000, 100,000. Millions of people have watched this. That is unbelievable. Wow. Anyway, you can go on and on and on. I mean, look at this. He's got like three or four different things, videos on that. Literally millions of people have watched that. You're a candidate for a miracle, and you didn't even know it, did you? Well, so as you can see, we've talked about that. We didn't really even get into Rome. I'm going to finish up here just with, we really just talked about the charismatics. I really didn't get into Rome and what Rome added. I'll probably have to change the title around here and just take off Catholics because I really didn't talk about them that much. I really talked about the charismatics. By visions and prophecies and all those other things, right? That's how they've added to God's word. The Bible warns about that. At the end, right, of the scriptures. Revelation 22:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. You know, the Bible warns us about it. Warns us. That not to add or to take away from God's word, not to play around with God's word. Their false prophecies and phony trips to heaven, and there's more that could be said. There's more that could be said about that, and there will be, because I think I'm going to do a follow-up video and maybe talk about this. He said, I think something, Deuce says, I think some things he said are plausible, possible, probability to provability. He is a liar, more on chance. Only God knows. Well, we can only believe what God says in his word. We can't believe what somebody says. They have a vision of heaven, and this is what heaven is like. Why? Why would I ever believe them? Why should I ever believe them? Or these people that say that they went to heaven, right? They claim to have gone to heaven, and God gave them extra biblical revelation. So, like Jesse Duplantis here, which is a first perfect segue maybe into the next time I broadcast about this, maybe I'll go through his video. Think about it. This guy is basically adding to the revelation. He's adding to it. And you can't argue with his experience. See, that's what charismatics do. You can't argue with their experience. Oh, yeah, you can. When their experience doesn't match up to the scriptures and it's extra biblical. And you're telling this story, so I believe your story and I follow what you're saying. It's false. But it's how they add to it. It's how they add to scripture. All they have to do is have a vision and they can say whatever they want. All they can do is say, well, you know what? God shows healing in the Bible, so therefore we can heal you. With his stripes we are healed, so we're never supposed to be sick. That's false. There's a number of people in the scriptures that were sick and that died from their sickness. Were they wicked because they died of their sickness? Were they out of the will of God? Right? Many people died of sickness. Many people standing outside of the healing revivals died of sickness. They died standing in line, some of them. The people that the charismatics laid hands on, listen to my broadcast from a week ago or so. The people a couple weeks ago, or not my broadcast, my sermon on a Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. Sometimes God allows us to get sick. Paul had an infirmity in the flesh. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. God never healed Paul's eyes. Right? That's all Bible. Paul had his companions stuck and they were sick. Timothy had his oft infirmities, right, for his stomach. He had a bad stomach. Well, Paul didn't heal him. It was God's will that he was sick. They're preaching lies to people. They're adding to God's word, and there's a curse on that. They're taken away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, one song, guys. And then I got to get out of here.
Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, He calls me. He calls me by the thunder. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus, steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, He calls me. He calls me by the lightning. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away. Steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here.
Amen. All right, everybody, we are going to take off here. God bless you all, and hope you have a good evening. Pray for us. Pray for our ministry. Pray the Lord will continue to bless us. Pray about the project that we're doing at my office there, at the Southern Command Center there. I have to get flooring for it. We're putting a wall up. We're building the recording studio. And got to have a computer and all these other things that we're doing to set up broadcasting and study for me right there, so I don't have to drive to do that, and I can get more done for the Lord that way. And so you pray for us that the Lord would provide that for us and continue to take care of us through all those things that God would have us to do. If you want to support our ministry, you may support our ministry through praying for us, number one, right? If you pray for us, we'd appreciate that. And if you'd ever, the Lord leads you to give to our ministry, we'd appreciate that. You can click on here to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. Click on the give icon there and then hit play or hit PayPal there. You can send it to salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or you can send it to Pastor Cooley at iCloud.com, or down here, as you can see, you can mail it to us. Right there is our address for the meeting house there, and you may do that if you'd like. Also, there's some Apple Pay and some other things that people have done, but I'm not super familiar with some of the other things, but I've had people give a number of different ways like that, and we're very appreciative of all of that. So anyway, pray for us. God bless you all. Take care, and we'll see you probably Friday will be the next broadcast. Probably Friday. Friday, I'm guessing at 11 a.m. Central. It could be 12. Could be noon Central. I'm just not sure yet. 11 to 12, something like that. So would appreciate that for sure. All right, everybody. God bless you all. Have a good night.